Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Women to Watch is an intimate look into the lives of prominent and influential women leaders from around the world and the challenges they faced on their journey. It's the real story behind her title. Join us every week to hear more stories about women from around the world and in your own communities at womentowatch.net. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Women to Watch. I'm Sue Rocco. Thanks so much for being with me. Colleges have been in the news a lot lately, and my guest this week is quite the expert. Allison Moots is Vice President and Dean of Student Affairs at Manor College. She's also going to be sharing with us a very personal story of loss, so you're going to want to listen in. Be sure to follow us on our YouTube channel at W2W Media, and you can get the show on any of the podcast platforms out there. A quick reminder to stay with us during the breaks, where you'll hear from our exclusive watch team of corporate partners. So now I'm very honored and excited to welcome to the show Allison Moots. Allison, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Listen, I understand you grew up in Wall Township, New Jersey. And I looked on the map because I had never heard of it. And it looks like it was on the coast. Yes, were you near the water?
Yeah, it's the inshore town to Belmar Beach would be the closest beach to Wall. So it's
okay.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about, just a little bit about your upbringing and what that community was like?
Yeah. I lived in Wall Township till I was about 30. So I have a good amount of experience there. it was a short town, like you said. And I grew up with a pretty normal family, you know, two brothers, parents. My grandmother lived with us as well throughout my entire childhood. She lived with us. So she was our caregiver for a while, you know, babysitting us. And then we became her caregiver later on in life, which was a joy. And I was a pretty average kid, you know, played sports, got involved in a lot of things. I think my love of helping people probably came from those years there. Working in the community and working with different organizations. It was a great childhood. I went to school growing up at a Catholic school right on the beach in Spring Lake, New Jersey, which you may be familiar with.
Oh, yeah. Spring Lake is beautiful.
Yeah. That was a really nice experience too, because we were very close to the beach as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting growing up with your grandmother in the house. What kind of relationship did you have with her, and what was her impact on you?
Oh, we were very, very close. She's passed, you know, now, but she was one of my best friends. She taught me so many skills growing up. And I think she had moved in with us to help my parents with the care of three kids, you know, mm-hmm. small children at the same time. And so she helped cook and helped did some laundry. And then she taught me, she was a seamstress. So she's taught me how to sew.
Good.
Yeah, it was, she would help me sew doll clothing for my baby dolls when I was little.
Yeah.
So it was a really nice experience. And I think I was very lucky to have had such an extended period of time living with her.
Yeah.
In close quarters. Yeah. It was wonderful.
And probably learning about your past. You know, I think I always feel bad for people who don't have an opportunity to meet or know their grandparents and learn a little bit more about the history of the family.
Right. Yeah. She had a number of sisters in the area. So we had an extended family too, that she was close with, which was nice. So I did get to, we have a lot of family stories, you know, when they tell the stories about the olden days, it was really unique.
So you shared with me your interest really at a very young age of kind of running, managing community events.
Yeah.
What was your first exposure to that? Where did you kind of experience it and say, gosh, I like doing this?
I don't know where my first experience was. I mean, I imagine it probably came a lot through my Catholic school upbringing, you know, and the thought of giving back and living humbly. I was thinking about it after you and I were communicating the other day. And I remember the very first event that I put on was through the school, and I did a car wash for a halfway house that I was raising money for. And I remember I got written up in the newspaper, the local newspaper, about it. And I was so excited that like my charity was getting this recognition. And it was a good memory because I haven't thought about that in a long time, but it really did kick off my love of doing community events and support services, which is now, you know, transitioned into what I do for a career. So it was a nice starting off point.
Okay. What did you learn from managing a rock band?
They're never on time.
I would imagine there were other difficult things.
Yeah, they were fun. They were a great group. They were out of Asbury Park, New Jersey. And I was with them for a few years, and they had a good circuit going on. They still, a lot of them still are in the music industry, which is nice to see. But what did I learn? Probably that managing five artists is sometimes difficult, but very rewarding.
Right. So they went on to have success.
The drummer, her name is Sarah. She's probably the biggest success musically right now. She's, most notably, she's played with Steven Tyler.
Drummer. Yeah. I love that.
She's fantastic. But then some of the others have stayed in the music industry as well, which is, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I understand you went to Moravian College and studied business management. What made you select that school?
So I really wanted a smaller school that had a very nice community feel. And I had been to a number of schools in that area and other areas of New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and just didn't feel the way I felt when I walked on that campus. And I think it was a good example of a gut feeling. You know, I went there and immediately knew that was the place for me. And it helped build so many relationships and friendships, and really started my life as an adult off. And I will never regret going there. I loved every minute of it. I was active in the alumni association, still am, for years.
And then later on, you obviously you have a love of learning for sure. Mm-hmm. And you decided to go off to Villanova and get your master's. So mm-hmm. we're both alum of Villanova. I love that school. And I guess you made a pivot somewhat from, you know, initially thinking business and then moving to educational leadership.
Right.
And what spurred that?
When I graduated undergrad, it was 2001. So it wasn't a really strong time in the job market. It was tough. And so I had considered starting my own business. I wanted to start a business running birthday parties for children in a unique setting where we would change the facility would stay the same, but we would change the facade of the party depending on what the customer wanted. And so some extra like courses and business in New Jersey classes, and then the market crashed and small business loans were few and far between. So then I pivoted and said, I'm going to go into higher ed. I had been heavily involved in college in a number of activities, student organizations, the college newspaper. And I've always felt very strongly about the power of higher education and how transformative that can be for a student, which is why I'm in the field and love it very much. So that's where I found Villanova and took my courses there.
Yeah. Was your first job out of Villanova with DeVry?
No, I'm sorry. Yes, it was. I was at DeVry when I was when I started taking the classes at Villanova.
Oh, okay. And you stayed there a long time, 10 years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So when you look back on those 10 years, I guess my first question is, you know, what do you feel most proud of for the work that you did there?
I am proud of, well, probably two things. It is a for-profit college, so it sometimes has a, in people's minds, it has a different connotation of what that means on a student experience side. And I would be proud to say that I provided a very traditional student experience to the students that were attending there, which I don't know if that was unique to the location I was at or if that was system-wide, but I felt very strongly about providing that to those students. And then the second piece of that is I started at the New Brunswick campus, and then when they opened our Fort Washington campus, I was brought in to kind of start the student affairs program there. And I thought that was really meaningful because then I could lay the groundwork for how I thought that traditional student life experience should be. And they maintained that, yeah, as far as I know.
Yes. And then how did the opportunity come to you to become vice president at Manor?
So I started out as director of student activities. So I had been looking for, I wanted to move into strictly traditional higher education. And so that's when I went to Manor and I did that position for, I think, 6 years. And then our dean of students at the time was Sister Frances. She's an amazing role model, and she was just aging out of the position. And Dr. Perry, our president, saw an opportunity for me and, you know, helped transition me into the position of dean of students.
He's a great person, by the way. And that's how we became connected, you know, having met him. And I love, he seems to be a strong advocate for women. Mm-hmm. In positions of leadership. So yes. We'll give him a shout out. and I know, you know, one of the things obviously you're very passionate about is kind of taking programs that perhaps we're not doing as well as they should and revitalizing them and bringing, you know, different ways to inspire students. I have a question first about students in general. I'm curious to know, you're working with students today, and when we were growing up, education was a lot different on a lot of different levels. What's the greatest thing you've noticed about students today that perhaps is different from the students of even 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
I would say, I think they're more driven, and I want to say that I was driven as well, but I feel like they're more driven academically and then also socially. So I feel like maybe when you and I were in school, there was a focus on, you know, the very traditional social aspect of college. I feel which, you know, parties and such. I feel like students now are focused on joining clubs and organizations and making real impact for the community and for the students at the college. And they're doing it with genuine spirit and determination. It's not to boost their resume. It's not to, you know, it's not for any other reason other than they genuinely care about doing this work.
Yeah, that's really good news. Mm-hmm. That's really good news. And it seems to be carrying on to, we talk about this topic a lot on the show, that when they graduate and they go for a job interview, at times they're interviewing the company reverse to find out what it is that they do to give back. What do they do that's charitable? How do they support and help employees? And I guess that starts with their experience in college.
Absolutely. Yes, definitely.
Listen, we're going to go into our first break. And when we come back, I want to hear a little bit more about the college manner and what you're working on right now. Great. Stay tuned for our good news segment with Christy McCaffrey, and we'll be back with Allison Moots.
Hi, my name is Christy McCaffrey, and I'm the founder and owner of Be The Good Media, and I'm here to share some good news. I wanted to share with you about a recent guest I had on my podcast named Maria Piconi. After her daughter was born with a rare genetic disorder called Prader-Willi syndrome, Maria and her husband committed themselves to finding solutions for rare diseases. Together, they created a company called Trend Community. And what Trend Community does is it collects conversations from rare, chronic, and emerging disease communities and turns their conversations into actionable insights. They're doing incredible work to help move the needle forward for rare disease communities. To hear more of our conversation, visit BeTheGoodMedia.com, and there you'll learn more about how Be The Good Media is working to amplify impact-driven missions and causes. I'm Christy McCaffrey. Listen here for more good news on Women to Watch.
We are CHOP, and we can't wait to show you around. We're the nation's first children's hospital. Now, a care network with more than 50 locations that continues to expand. 3 state-of-the-art research buildings with 1.5 million square feet of space. We have grown from 12 beds 165 years ago to nearly 600 beds and one of the best children's hospitals in the world. We have a level 1 trauma center, 11 floors of patient units, more than 20 operating rooms, first of its kind delivery unit for babies with birth defects, a separate cardiac operative and catheterization suite, and places to learn, like our internationally recognized simulation center. We have trained generations of leaders in the field of pediatrics. We are world leaders in medicine, surgery, and science. One of the top recipients in NIH funding for pediatric research. In this building, pioneers in CAR T therapy, mitochondrial disease, brain tumors, hyperinsulinism, and other rare diseases. Here, groundbreaking work in fetal surgery, genetics and genomics, and neurology. In our newest building, leaders in social determinants of health, clinical informatics and epidemiology, autism, trauma and injury prevention. Our patients come from every state and 115 countries. Meeting these challenges requires the best and the brightest. We are passionate about pediatrics. We are motivated to make a difference in the world and in our community. We are a team. We are CHOP.
Welcome back to the show. I'm speaking this week with Allison Moots, and Allison is Vice President and Dean of Student Affairs at Manor College here in Pennsylvania. And certainly, Allison, one of the biggest topics, I would say, in just in news and in general conversations among people is education and students and what's happening at universities. That is different and what is worthwhile. And so just tell us a little bit about what you're seeing with the students there and I guess any challenges as well with how things have changed.
I think our students are very civic minded, like I had said before. We also have a unique population, that we have a lot of students that are caregivers to family members, or children. Mm-hmm. And so they are working really hard both on campus and off campus. A lot of them have full-time jobs, or like I said, they're caring for family and then they come to school full-time. And they're also trying to do these, get involved on campus in a traditional manner and join student organizations or volunteer their time and with community service, help me with building the projects that I'm constantly kind of putting on their plate as student leaders. I feel like college students are very unique now, and it's there's a lot of controversy going on in colleges. There's a lot of concerns about the FAFSA, delay that's been happening with students. There's always our hot button topics of diversity and inclusion, accessibility issues. So it's such a broad range of issues and concerns that I feel like every day is different, because you're really trying to tackle a mountain of student concerns, yeah, and issues with small staff, too. And that's the other piece of it, is that we're all working extra hard to provide the same services that these students had after there was a little resignation of higher ed for a period right after COVID. I think it's turning around now, but so that's probably the biggest challenges that we're facing.
And how vocal are the students? I mean, I wonder if it would be beneficial, and maybe you do this, to have the students themselves in conversation about these individual topics and mm-hmm. what they believe and what they think should be done.
Yeah, they're very vocal on our campus. I know other campuses, we have not seen any level of protesting on our campus, but the students are more involved and more vocal about their personal experience on campus, and then also getting involved in the community. So we had a wonderful student this year who felt very strongly about social justice issues, and she put on a three series web and in-person series that she designed with our faculty and our resident life director. And it was very organic coming from her, but it was lovely to see the student kind of come up with the idea. I feel like a lot of times the staff is generating some.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Some things, and then getting student buy-in on the back end. And now I'm seeing that change, where students are the ones coming up with the ideas and then getting us to buy in, which we will, of course. So I think that's been a nice welcome change. After COVID, the dip in enrollment and activity on campus, it was a mountain to climb to get out of that. So, you know, I'll say right after COVID, we had like 6 active student organizations, and this year we have 13. So we've almost, or we over doubled our numbers of students that want to get involved and they want to do good on campus and off. So that's been
a
change. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking often when we talk about education and students, we're talking about the challenges of social media. And I'm guessing, you know, in grade school, that age, it's very tough. It's a distraction. It's, you know, something that we're just constantly trying to get kids off of. And I'm curious if the college age students, how social media affects them, if at all, as a distraction.
Right. So I see it more in my role. I oversee the student conduct process. And so I see social media play a bit of a place in conduct on the rare occasion. It's not, I think because of their experience in grade school with media and rules and regulations, I think by the time they get to college, they've kind of understood the implications that can happen if you wrongly post something or say something online. Maybe once a year, we'll have to have a conversation with a student about online presence. But I don't see it as much of a distraction in class and academically. I don't see it being a problem. I've seen it be a benefit to us with student organizations and student events on campus, because they're constantly texting each other, telling each other, hey, did you see this cool event we have? And they're taking pictures and they're sharing it.
Yes.
You know, so I think it's helping us spread the word. We embody it. Like, we have multiple Instagram accounts for the college, like most colleges do. And I think they're great. They're very interactive, and students like to see that youthful, you know, piece to our college. So I think
it's just an incredible tool for communications.
It is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That we didn't have before. Allison, you used the word caretaker in the first segment, and I'm going to pivot a little bit, because I always ask my guests to talk about an experience in their life that probably was one of the most impactful. And, you know, this is a sensitive topic, and I'm grateful that you're going to share it, but you lost your husband just this past year, and you were a caretaker to him. And so I guess my first question is, how are you doing?
I'm good. I mean, it's a roller coaster. Not, you know, nothing you ever expect would happen.
No, too young, way too young.
Yeah. My support, my family and friends have been just unbelievably, incredibly supportive. And I feel just a community of love around me. And it's been helpful, because it can get, you know, gets lonely, gets a little down sometimes. But my husband was I'm gonna try not to get emotional. My husband was a very strong force. He was very positive, very intelligent, and very cheerful. There's so many words I could use to describe him that just wouldn't give you the best picture, a good enough picture of him. But him and I spent a lot of time talking, you know, before he passed, and there was a number of things that, you know, he wanted me to continue doing, and staying positive and kind of living in that image of him is really at the end of the day, that's what I try to do every day, is try to stay positive for him. Cause I know, I mean, with what he dealt with and the positivity he was able to maintain, it was a total inspiration. Yeah.
Yeah. So unfair, you know, and you were married 10 years. What do you miss the most? Is it just the conversations with him? Was there something you shared together from an activity or hobby standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is the conversation, you know, just the sound of his voice. And he was a very good listener, very good mentor. So it's, you know, we were easily able to just have a two-way conversation about, this is an issue I'm having, what do you think? And he was just great. He was just everyone in the family and friends, everyone went to him for the same reason, because he just was the voice of reason. You know, he was the patriarch of the family. It was wonderful. We were foodies, and we cooked a ton. And if he had a physical handicap, if he had not had that handicap, I fully believe he would have been a Michelin starred chef. I mean, he was outstanding at cooking and innately knew that, you know, tastes and flavors and process. Yeah. So I'm struggling a little bit there now because I'm a good sous chef, but I'm coming up with the ideas this little time.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, first of all, I'm so sorry. And it's such a short time, Allison, you know, this will be a journey for you for sure. And the topic of caregivers, it came up today. I shared with you, I saw this post on LinkedIn that Bradley Cooper is involved in a documentary about caregivers and kind of the crisis that's happening within how many, our economy and healthcare. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity, if you have thoughts on that, you know, what is most needed? What could be done to kind of turn the crises around so that when people are going through it, they have the support they need?
Yeah. The trailer that you shared with me, the documentary, I'm glad I watched it prior to meeting with you because I was a mess. It looks fantastic. It looks, I mean, I already shared it with a colleague. I said, we have to do a screening on campus. This is a hot and very important topic that people don't talk about. And I think they even indicated this in the trailer, is that you just, and I told many people this over the years that I was caring for my husband, you just do it. You know, people would say, why aren't you getting someone? Why aren't you bringing in help? Why can't you do X? And the answer is usually it's financially nearly impossible to bring in full-time care if you're not covered, or, you know, if you can't. He was under eight, you know, so he was young enough, he didn't get Medicare, and, you know, there's reasons around that, but you just do it. You don't ask questions, you know, you're not, there's no other way to explain it. It's like, it's what you agreed to when you married someone, or you know, you're a child and you're taking care of a parent or a grandparent. And I don't know how better to explain it. It's, you're not going to just.
I understand it, Allison. I have a very dear friend in a very similar situation, and she said the exact same thing. And so, it's an experience we don't want to be in, but we do it because of the love, number one, and it's necessary.
Right, exactly. It is necessary. And it's, you know, at times, not from the person you're caring for, but it can be thankless. It can be, it's very emotionally exhausting and physically exhausting. It's tough physically. I'm very curious to see the documentary because I want to see what solutions they're proposing. It looked like, I know in many states, some caregivers can get financial support, but the spouse can never get that support. So it's like an aunt or an uncle or maybe a parent to a child, but spouses can never get financial support for. So you have to maintain your full-time work life as you're being a full-time caregiver on the side.
Yeah, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully I worked, you know, for John Perry, who is very understanding and very helpful with me and my family throughout these past few years. And I will forever be grateful to that, but not everyone has that opportunity. And I don't know how I would have gotten through that without that extra little bump of help from John.
Yeah. So I guess it's really, I mean, insurance, number one, just there needs to be some kind of coverage because there's so many people in this situation.
Yeah.
It's not unusual.
No. I mean, parents with children, it could be a spouse, it could be your aging parents. And it doesn't necessarily have to be an ailment or a sickness. It can just be, you know, old age and you just need to be there. And it's a safety issue. It really is. I mean, there's so many times when it became a safety issue for us. And I cannot wait for that to come out.
Do you see yourself at all? I know that's too soon, way too soon, but down the road, perhaps being involved in the initiative for change.
Oh, I would love to be. Absolutely. Yeah. When I was watching the trailer, I was thinking, well, how can I get involved in this? You know, I know.
Yeah. Let's get Bradley Cooper on the phone. He is from Philadelphia.
He is.
Right. So,
I think it's unique too, age wise, you know, to have had the experience of being a caregiver and to the level of which the care was needed at the age I am. And like, hopefully I can use that to my advantage and get people to listen, because sometimes, you know, it's just, people just aren't heard, you know, or they don't know the right resource. So
yes, Yeah. Well, I would imagine meeting you and knowing your background and your professional career journey, that you're definitely someone who wants to get involved and help and, you know, change things. So I have a feeling you will be doing that. And for our listeners who don't know, I did read your husband was 45. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're talking about a 45-year-old man. So yeah, I just can't imagine. All right, we're going to switch gears again. And I understand you're an avid reader. I wanted to know what you're reading right now, if anything.
I always have something. I just finished rereading A Little Life. It came out years ago. Just a great, very good story. It's not very uplifting. So I don't want to give anybody the wrong impression. It's very emotional. A lot of mental health concerns, but it's really a life story of four young men that are friends, and just a very moving story. I think it was good to like kind of get some crying out of it, you know.
I finished
that last night, so I am looking for recommendations moving forward.
what did you do, and what do you do now for just your wellness and your peace of mind? Is there something?
So I started yoga. After I lost my husband, I needed something very grounding, and I'd never done yoga before. And I started and I became a little obsessed. I love it now a lot.
Good. Oh, it's great. Yeah. And I don't do it, but I know, I mean, I certainly know it's so wonderful for the people that do, physically and mentally.
Yeah. It's very calming. It's very, you know, and it's like, you're in a safe space. It's just nice. I love it. I come back home from it every time. Really, very good. And then this season I had the opportunity with, one of my husband's best friends has a daughter, and he asked me to coach softball with him. And cause I used to play pretty competitively, and they're 10, and it was the best like 2 months of my life. I had so much fun too.
Well, you didn't mention that in the first segment that you played, competitive softball.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it was great. It was good to watch the girls, you know, change and grow over the course of the season. And it was my first time coaching anything. So I really enjoyed it.
What age are you coaching?
10. Like they're 9, 10, and 11.
9, 10, 11. Oh, that's great. That's great. Mm-hmm. It's a really important time.
Yeah.
Well, the last question, Allison, I have for you is just to give you an opportunity to share some advice with our viewers and listeners, women that perhaps are going through something similar. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is you would like to share.
Yeah. People gave me this advice while I was going through it, and I didn't listen. But I do think it's still important to share, because I probably should have. So there, self-care when you're caring for others is vital. I mean, in both physically and mentally, you need to give yourself grace and you need to give yourself patience, because it's a very trying time for both people involved. You know, advocate for yourself. My husband taught me that in a medical situation or any other situation, you know you the best, you know your pain, you know your situation. They don't live with you. You need to advocate and speak your truth when you're in a situation like that. And then spend as much time as possible with the people that you love, and tell them that you love them, and just enjoy their presence and enjoy your time together, because it's fleeting. You don't know when it's going to end. And it's, even if you do know when it's going to end, it doesn't matter. Value your time, because it's important, and you won't get it back.
Yeah. That's beautiful. And probably the best advice there is out there. Mm-hmm. I thank you so much, Allison, for taking time to be on the show and talk about your story. And, Let's put our heads together and see how we can get in touch with Bradley and see if we can get involved in the documentary.
Yeah, I would love that.
I'm going to do some digging. We're going to go into our last break. Stay tuned for AJ Andrews, and I'll be back to close out the show.
Hey, I'm AJ Bishop Andrews, and I'm thrilled to be joining you as a new contributor to this incredible podcast. As the CEO and founder of The 9 to Thrive, I'm passionate about helping women achieve financial security and empowerment, especially when it comes to making bold career moves. I've met so many talented women who dream of leaving their corporate jobs to pursue their calling, but they're held back by the fear of losing their financial stability. I get it, because I've been there. I know how it feels to be stuck in a career that no longer aligns with your values, but to worry about how you'll pay the bills if you make a change. But here's what I've discovered. When you have a solid financial plan in place, when you know exactly where your income is coming from and how you'll cover your expenses, the fear starts to lose its power. And that's what we do at The 9 to Thrive. We give women the tools and strategies they need to create a financial roadmap and exit strategy that supports their dreams. When you have that kind of financial clarity and confidence, you're free to make choices that truly light you up inside. I believe women are meant for bigger things and want a life that aligns with their deepest values and aspirations. Because ultimately, this journey is about so much more than money. It's about claiming your power, your purpose, and your potential. It's about creating a life that's truly worth living. To learn more about the 9 to Thrive pathway and our growing community, you can find us on LinkedIn or visit my website at ajbishop.co. Here's to your financial freedom and living a life that truly sets your soul on fire.
We are CHOP, and we can't wait to show you around. We're the nation's first children's hospital. Now, a care network with more than 50 locations that continues to expand. Three state-of-the-art research buildings with 1.5 million square feet of space. We have grown from 12 beds 165 years ago to nearly 600 beds and one of the best children's hospitals in the world. We have a level one trauma center, 11 floors of patient units, more than 20 operating rooms, first-of-its-kind delivery unit for babies with birth defects, a separate cardiac operative and catheterization suite, and places to learn, like our internationally recognized simulation center. We have trained generations of leaders in the field of pediatrics. We are world leaders in medicine, surgery, and science. One of the top recipients in NIH funding for pediatric research. In this building, pioneers in CAR-T therapy, mitochondrial disease, brain tumors, hyperinsulinism, and other rare diseases. Here, groundbreaking work in fetal surgery, genetics and genomics, and neurology. In our newest building, leaders in social determinants of health, clinical informatics and epidemiology, autism, trauma and injury prevention. Our patients come from every state and 115 countries. Meeting these challenges requires the best and the brightest. We are passionate about pediatrics. We are motivated to make a difference in the world and in our community. We are a team. We are CHOP.
That's it, everyone, for another week of Women to Watch. Thanks so much for joining me. Next week, I'm going to be sitting down with Alexis Jones, a famous author, TED speaker, and a Survivor contestant. It's going to be a great show. If you enjoy the show, I'd love for you to go to womentowatch.net and find out how you can join our watch team and support the content. Thank you, as always, to our corporate partners and sponsors for supporting the show and helping us to bring it to you each and every week. Have a great week, everyone.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.